So you have a podcast, and you really want to make money with it. Then you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. Check this out. We'll host your podcast for free. You just do your show. We'll use the power of Odyssey's massive expert sales team to place ads in your show and make you money. Does it get any easier than that? Nope. You stay in control of your show, and we help you bring in the money. Sounds like a dream partnership. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start earning more from your content today.
Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to Sports Talk here on the Big 870 WWL. Mike to tell you along with Charlie Long, running things behind the scenes, and my tag team partner from 4 to 6. I want to tell everybody at 4:20, Aaron Summers will be on with us talking Pelicans. Aaron does the pregame, halftime, postgame for Gulf Coast Sports and Entertainment Network. Also has worked on the Pels Radio Network. And man, interesting offseason for the Pels just because so many changes. And better buy you a roster somewhere because I think there's more moves to be made by Jule Dumars before it's all said and done. At 4:40, it was an interesting question I got asked Thursday, and so I felt as though I would highlight it. We kind of ran out of time yesterday on LSU special teams. And the texter brought up a good point that LSU has really not gotten off to a good start special teams-wise in the year under Brian Kelly, and this year you cannot have that happen. And so we'll go through the punt return, kick return, certainly the kicker, and Damian Ramos, who's if he was working for me, he would be like a vested guy for retirement. It almost seems like he's been there like 15 years because he's been there for such a long period of time. New punter this year because of the fact that it was an area I think Brian Kelly wanted to improve in. And so Grant Chadwick was brought in from Middle Tennessee State. He averaged over 43 yards a punt. And also the coverage teams, and we'll talk a little bit more about that at 4:40, because I think it's an important element to the game, and it's been an element of the game LSU has not been great with, and that's something where you sign a guy like Berrion Brown from Kentucky, and he made his mark early on. Not only is he a receiver who got speed, but man, can he return kickoffs? And a couple years back, he averaged over 30 yards a kick return, and he brought three back for scores. Now, last year you saw teams say, we ain't fooling with that no more. So they kicked off to him a little bit different at Kentucky, but I think certainly he'll be a difference maker for him. And then at 5:20, Greg Allman, who's been on with us numerous times to talk the NFL, NFC South, and I get so many questions, no matter where I go today, about, man, Saints, Tampa Bay, Atlanta, Carolina. So we'll talk about that. I thought yesterday, Charlie, after I'd gotten off, LSU made that move in bringing in a guy there have been a lot of rumors about, Kevin Bolden, who is now LSU's new football assistant GM. He has worked with their GM, so to speak, Austin Thomas. A lot of people might remember Austin. He was here when Coach Ogeron was here, and he left, and then he went to Ole Miss. And in this game today, the hiring of Kevin Bolden away from Ole Miss, and he was their director, coordinator, whatever you want to put it, of recruiting strategy. It is such a huge part of the game today. Recruit, develop players, and then keep them once you got them. To get Kevin Bolden, his association, certainly with Austin Thomas, played a big part in it. I think you will see over the next couple weeks more announcements of Brian Kelly retooling that kind of recruiting strategy part that he's looking for front office-wise. And it's strange to hear when you talk about a college team, but now everybody's got a GM in different sports. I thought that was a big catch for LSU. Kevin is going to be a guy. I've seen him so many times sort of on the road recruiting for Ole Miss. And he was a guy that understood, you know, kind of how to make that connection. Young guy in this business. And, again, it is difficult in this day of name, image, likeness, transfer portal, however you want to put it, to come up with a strategy that will work. And then once you get them to develop them, then once you develop them to keep them, So, Charlie, I thought that was a big hire yesterday, and given Kevin Bolden, who got rave reviews at Ole Miss for his ability to kind of sort out players that Ole Miss could recruit, could sign, either as high school players or also as transfer portal players. So Austin Thomas knows the game. He's been in it a few years, but still a young man as far as that's concerned. But he was a guy, both of them, Thomas and Bolden, that know the area very well and know how to connect the dots in bringing in football players.
Well, that's what I was going to bring up, Mike, is that when I was reading the article that Glenn West, our friend from Go247, did on the Kelvin Bolden edition, Austin Thomas, right, the connection there. Bolden isn't the first person that LSU has kind of quote-unquote poached, I guess, from Ole Miss. Austin Thomas, who's now the Senior Associate Athletic Director for Football Administration, was also from Ole Miss, and they worked together for 2 years in Oxford. Now they're kind of reuniting in Baton Rouge. And as you mentioned, this Ole Miss rosters in recent years, with especially with Lane Kiffin, have not been lacking in any talent, Mike. You know, it's all about not just recruiting the high school ranks, but also recruiting out of the portal and adding those really talented players to kind of fill and patch holes on your roster. So I think it's a really interesting addition and, you know, just another piece coming in from Ole Miss to LSU.
And both know the area very, very well. They know the Mississippi, Louisiana, Texas, that panhandle, certainly in the Florida area and Alabama, really, really well. So you want to bring in people that know the area, know the coaches, know the players, and can connect the dots. And we all know, certainly name, image, likeness, the money part of the game is always going to be there. You might not like it, but it is always going to be a part of it now. And with the new laws and new things held up by the NCAA, that's here to stay. If you like it or don't like it, it's not going to change. It's always going to be there. Also, LSU announced today of the three players they're bringing SEC Media Day in Atlanta starting Monday. And no surprise, Garrett Nussmeier, the quarterback, Chris Hilton Jr. Last year, Chris only played in six games, and he only had one start. He only caught nine passes. But those nine passes went for 243 yards. He averaged 27 yards a catch, and three of the nine went for touchdowns. And we saw late, especially in the Texas Bowl against Baylor, the big playability of Chris Hilton Jr. And I probably have gotten more phone calls from NFL people asking me about Hilton than any other player on that LSU team, because there is an unknown factor here. You see flashes of it. Then when he came back from the lower body injury, man, he was mistiming jumps. He was maybe going a little bit lengthier on the routes than he should. And, man, he caught an earful. And one time, catching the earful, he kind of turned to walk away. And, man, Brian Kelly let him have it. But I think Brian Kelly understands to have that big play element in the lineup, and what it does defensively, if you've got to go up against them, because of the fact you cannot play a safety always in the box to stop the run. You have got to account for the deep area of the field, and that's what Chris Hilton Jr. can do. Man, he is fast, and he's fast with a helmet and pads on. You got some people, put them on a track, they can run. You put a helmet and pads on, they're not as fast. Chris Hilton, former track star in high school at Zachary, and you can see his ability and what he gave LSU late, especially once he got his confidence back, because I think he sort of lost that a little bit with the injury, and then he didn't play especially well when he first came back, and there was some mistimed jumps on Chris's part. And again, some overextension of routes. A lot of people, oh, Nussmeier missed him on that. No, a lot of that had to do, Chris was running the routes a little bit too long, and instead of cutting it off at 10 yards or 15, he was going a little bit lengthier with it. Chris Hilton Jr., I think if LSU's going to have that special season of getting into that top 12 and trying to advance, Charlie, he's got to play a huge part in it.
So it's not just Hilton, Nussmeier, and Whit Weeks was the last one. Those are the three players that are joining Brian Kelly, which, by the way, Mike, we're less than a week away from Coach Kelly and those players speaking at SEC Media Days, because LSU opens it all up. Like, the Media Days run Monday. From Monday, July 14th, all the way through Thursday, July 17th. It's four different programs per day, but LSU is the very first program that's going to be speaking Monday, July 14th with Coach Kelly, and then Garrett Nussmeier for the second straight year, making an appearance at SEC Media Days. Last year was Nussmeier, Perkins, Harold Perkins, and then Mason Taylor. This year, it's Nussmeier, Chris Hilton, and then Whit Weeks. But to your point, Mike, I mean, you talked about Hilton last week and how he, quote-unquote, brings the Rashid Shaheed speed aspect to the game. And when you can just take the top off the defense, I know that you've also said you're really looking forward to that opening matchup against Clemson. Just air it out right off the bat. Test that defense. See if they can keep up with Chris Hilton's speed, which not many DBs can do, Mike.
No, and the other part is, and we'll talk a little bit more about him as we bring up on the special teams, Berrion Brown, who's fast too. I mean, he's another guy who's fast with a helmet and pads on. I know we got to go to break real quick, but, man, one thing I can say about Whit Weeks, he's not the biggest, the fastest, strongest, most powerful guy on the field. But, man, does that sucker have instincts.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you can't teach the instincts he has. Now, sometimes he's a bit of a guesser, and that's what is makes his game a little intriguing. I think he's always trying to guess what that is going to happen offensively. Most of the time he's right. Every once in a while they catch him out of position. But his ability to find the ball carrier, he can drop in coverage. We've seen him – with Blake Baker, they blitz him off the edge and also right up the interior. He is a guy that he's coming off the ankle injury, which happened at the in the Texas Bowl against Baylor. Man, you talk about a guy that knows where to put himself to be in the right position. That is Whit Weeks. They've got other guys that are bigger, stronger, faster. He's got one instinct about knowing where the football is. You can't teach. Either you've got it or you don't. That's something nobody can teach you. Either you have it sort of inside you or you don't between the ears.
Yeah, I mean, Whit Weeks is fantastic. Like, I remember the Ole Miss game where he had like 18 tackles, I'm pretty sure, and Brian Kelly after the game was just like, that doesn't happen in the modern day
it doesn't.
College football game. And he said that he's just a machine. And so Whit Weeks obviously going to be a key part of this LSU defense for the upcoming season. And really looking forward to seeing what he can do, what improvements he can also make ahead of this upcoming year.
Absolutely. We'll be back with more sports talk here on the Big 8-7. We have one with us, Aaron Summers, who covers the Pelicans. Talked to her about the Summer League, all the additions the Pelicans have made. Aaron works for the Gulf Coast Sports and Entertainment Network. We'll be back with Aaron right after this break here on the Big 8-7 WWL.
So you have a podcast, and you really want to make money with it. Then you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. Check this out. We'll host your podcast for free. You just do your show. We'll use the power of Odyssey's massive expert sales team to place ads in your show and make you money. Does it get any easier than that? Nope. You stay in control of your show, and we help you bring in the money. Sounds like a dream partnership. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start earning more from your content today.
Back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870 WWL, Mike DeTillo along with Charlie Long, making things right behind the scenes and on our Oakland Heart Jewelers talk and text line from the Gulf Coast Sports and Entertainment Network. You see her on the pregame, halftime, postgame, Aaron Summers. Aaron, thanks so much for joining me this afternoon.
Definitely. Thanks for having me. It's been a fun past couple days getting to see some of the rookies out at these Summer League training camp practices. So it's an exciting time for the Pelicans. We're going to get to see them play for a couple weeks, and then we'll have a little break before the season gets going.
There is such a small break between end of the season and it starts up already in the NBA. We're talking to Joe Mars about this, and Joe was like, I'd like to see the season start a little bit later and end in like July. He says, you know, that way you're not competing so much against the NFL. You're going up against Major League Baseball. But when you start in October or November and you're going up against college football and the NFL, man, it's tough, especially in New Orleans.
It is. And if you think about it, if the Pelicans were to get into the NBA Finals, then your season would be lasting until June, and that's when we're in the middle of OTAs and veteran mini camp, and everything's all focused on the Saints. And there's not a lot of time to turn back around for the next year if you're playing deep into the postseason. And I just saw recently that the WNBA is talking about playing longer into November, so then there would even be more going on in the early part of the fall.
That's not a good idea to check. When you go head up against college football in the NFL, that's not a really good idea. The ratings will point that out real quickly. Aaron, who do you look at that you say, hey, I want to concentrate maybe on a couple people at the Summer League that I think could really help this Pels team in, say, the 2025-26 season?
I think that when you look at this team, you have to circle Eve Meese first, because he does come in after playing a lot of minutes last season and in an unexpected role. It was supposed to be a developmental year for him, and he got thrown into the fire very, very early. And he put so much work in during the off season. He's come back. He's bigger. He's stronger. And in talking to the players and even Summer League head coach Corey Brewer, they all said that he is much more confident, which is big, because we knew Meese came into the game late. Obviously, he came to America in 2020. So it has been a learning curve for him. And the fact that he was able to really grasp the game at an NBA level so quickly, I'm really interested to see what kind of step he can take after attacking things this offseason. And watching him these past couple practices has been a lot of fun. Lots of big dunks, lots of really big plays from him. And I think that that's going to be the next step for his game, is that confidence and knowing where he's supposed to be on the floor. And then Micah Peavy has been really fun to watch defensively. He is just turning defense into offense. He is flying around the court, and he stole several balls, gotten way of passes, deflections at practice today. So he's going to be fun, kind of really fueling that transition game, which is what the Pelicans are really focusing in on for this Summer League team. They want to play fast. They want to rebound. They want to get out and run and really advance the ball as quickly as possible. So we're going to see a team that is flying around on the court. And then you have to go with Jeremiah Sears, the 7th overall pick. When you talk about speed, it starts with him. His ball handling is insane. And the way that he sees the court is going to be huge for this team. He is very young, but he looks very comfortable where he's at. So I think there's going to be a lot of excitement around this team, and they're going to be really fun to watch.
Aaron, one of the players, we had a couple texts about it, Trey Alexander, who was with the Nuggets last year, but at a lower level of competition basketball-wise, but he sort of lit it up there. Kind of your first impressions of Trey Alexander.
Yeah, we were able to talk to him today, and if you look at his stats, so last year he was the G League MVP, rookie MVP, had a phenomenal season, over 25 points per game. He shot 39.5% from outside, so he does add that ability to score, and somebody that can do it from range is going to be really helpful. He has that experience playing with a Denver team that has a lot of experience, because he was playing both at the G League level and at the NBA level. So when you look at somebody like Nikola Jokic, who was able to play alongside, people have linked the Derek Queen to Nikola Jokic and calling him Baby Jokic a lot because of his size, not the most athletic, but he still has really good touch. And he even today said that, yeah, he totally sees that correlation and why people call Queen that. So he comes with a little more experience, really good knowledge of the game, and he's played with some of the best in the league. So I think he's going to come in and be ready to go from day one.
Aaron, I wanted to ask you about Derek Queen, because I think there's going to be some opportunity here to kind of see how he works with the traditional center like an Eve Meese at the four, or maybe even play the five in Summer League in some small ball units. And I just want to get your thoughts on what you're expecting to see from Queen, both at the four and five, regarding different lineups with him.
Yeah, so far he has been playing a lot of the four, and he's been playing in tandem with Eve Meese, a lot of the pick and roll, and he is really trying to set Meese up underneath. So he said he's completely fine with that. Like, he is going to feed Meese all day, and he should be looking for lobs. But Queen does have the ability to put the ball on the floor. I mean, he can move very well. So I wouldn't be surprised if we see that from him. I have seen him take the ball up the court a couple times in practices and during some of their live play. So it will be interesting to see exactly what his role ends up being with this team, but I think he's going to have some freedom and some versatility in what he's able to do in summer league.
Aaron, to add on to that, we had on Tavon Sadler, who's the head basketball coach at Nicholls State now, but before he was at Nicholls, he was part of the group that actually recruited Derek Queen to Maryland. And he was saying one of the more underrated parts, he said, you can see he's a big man who can shoot the ball well. His movement skills are so good. But he really praised him for his passing ability. And he said once he gets used to kind of where a player likes to set up, he is going to make a very big impact in setting up another guy to score. And he felt that was a huge, huge part of his game.
Yeah, absolutely. And Queen talked about that too. And like I said, really wanting to be that for Eve Meese underneath. But his touch is so, it's so impressive. He looks so smooth in everything that he does as far as his movement, his footwork, the way that he does pass the ball and how he sees things. Obviously, in the NBA, spacing is going to be a little bit different. The three-point line's a little bit further out. And you got to get to know the people you're playing alongside, what they like, where they like the ball, how they move, their shots. So once people get a little more comfortable with each other, I think we're going to really see that side of his game. But already, he looks really good out there.
You know, Aaron, I've joked with Mike and some of the other team reporters that we've had on the show, and just the constant one thing after the next with the NBA offseason. And then there's a little bit of a break, but you go from game seven of the finals to then the draft and then free agency opens. And now we're sitting where we are right now, looking 2 days away from summer league. I want to get your thoughts specifically looking into your crystal ball. We've talked about a couple players that we're already looking forward to watching over the next basically 2 weeks. But if you had to kind of predict which player really is going to make a name for themselves for the Pelicans in the Las Vegas summer league, just want to get your thoughts on who you think that would be.
Yeah, I think that somebody that would be fun to watch is Christian Shumate. So he played at McNeese and was a part of that really fun team that we all saw during the NCAA tournament this past year. And he was known more as a 3-and-D guy, but the way that he is attacking every aspect of the game has really stood out. And even Corey Brewer was talking endlessly today about just his athleticism and his scoring ability. He didn't really realize that he had the ability to score in so many different ways. And so Shumate himself said that he kind of stuck to what he knew that he did well. And now he is trying to kind of look and see what other areas of his game he can tap into. And we're going to see a little different side of Shumate, which I think will be fun for the summer league, you know, that exposure, being on that stage. He's very familiar with being on a big stage. So I think that he could do really, really well. And then someone that we're a little familiar with is Lester Quinones. And he continues to shoot extremely well from outside. So there's been, I think, one today and I think yesterday, late game situation, literally no time on the clock. And he pulls up with great defense on him and sinks the three for a win. So he's had a couple of buzzer beaters in their live game simulations, but not afraid of the moment. And he's really big at knocking down some big shots.
Early on, I thought that the Pelicans really played good defense under Coach, but that has sort of faded a bit. Has that been a huge part of the summer league about playing better defense? Because I think with the Pels, we all used to now, this game is about three-point shooting and setting up, just scoring all the time. But the better teams are the better defensive teams. Has that been a point of emphasis in the summer league about better defensive play?
Yes, absolutely. And the first day, they really broke down a couple things that they want to focus in on and be known for in summer league play. And it started with playing hard. And they did talk about the last four years, they were a top 10 defense, obviously last year being the year that they were not. So it's really about getting back to being a top 10 defense. And then that includes playing hard, communicating, protecting the rim, rebounding, and staying in front of your man. And then aside from that, they want to play fast, as I mentioned before. And it starts for them on the defensive end. If you can be disruptive, be the aggressor, whether it's grabbing the rebound, forcing a deflection, stealing the ball, and getting out and running, then you're able to play faster. So for them, it seems like the emphasis has been starting on the defensive end and getting back to the way we, you know, used to know the Pelicans played hard and tough on that defensive end.
Yeah, because last year we didn't see that, and certainly injuries played a big part in it. We've had some people text in, also call in about Sadiq Bey, who they acquired from the Wizards. And we haven't seen him for a while because of the injury that he had. Can you give us a little update about his health? We know about Jordan Poole and his scoring ability, but a little bit about Sadiq Bey and what we saw of him early in his career. He was a very impressive player.
Yeah, so Sadiq Bey, he's still young. He's only 26 years old. Last year he didn't play. So this last full season that he played was in Atlanta, 2023-24, and he had nearly 14 points a game, 6.5 rebounds, and he shot 42% from the field. So he can be a consistent, productive player. 45% from outside during college. So, like, you know, he has that ability to shoot from range, be a scorer. And for him, it's just about back to getting healthy and making sure that he can maintain what he needs to do to be able to play a full season.
And then now the moratorium period is over, Aaron. I also want to get your thoughts on Jordan Poole. You know, a very divisive player amongst NBA fans. Some see him as, you know, still can be that player that was the third best player on a championship-winning Golden State roster back in 2022. Others kind of see him and look at what happened in Washington when he moved over there as maybe the empty calories, empty stats type of guy, where he'll put up good numbers and he averaged a career-high 20.5 points per game last year, but it's for a bad Washington team. So I just want to get your gauge on Jordan Poole and what you're expecting from him with the Pelicans this upcoming season.
Yeah, it's funny because when you talk to people, you either, like, think that Jordan Poole is going to be good. He played well last year. Let's see what he can do. Or you really don't like him because he has been a little bit up and down in his career. And I think everybody goes back to some of the issues that we saw when he was at Golden State with Draymond Green. But I don't know that there's anybody out there that hasn't had an issue with Draymond Green. That's just kind of the player and person that he is. So you kind of have to put that aside. And you hope that last year, getting a lot of playing time, being kind of one of the guys on that Wizards team, that he was able to really figure out his game, catch his rhythm, and that's something he can build off of here. He doesn't have to be your starting point guard here. I think he leans towards a point guard position, but there is a possibility that Jeremiah Fears comes in and does really well, and he ends up taking over that role. And then Jordan can kind of come in and fill in those minutes and not have so much pressure on him. So it could be interesting to see that dynamic early on. I cannot wait for, like, actual Pelicans training camp to see how some of the rotations are going to be, who starts, how they're going to play together, because I think there's a lot of interesting pieces, and that's going to be the key, is how they play together, especially around somebody like Zion Williamson, to make sure that everybody is getting the most out of their game and what this team can be.
I learned this long ago. Smart players figure it out. Even if they jumbled a little bit, smart players figure it out. It doesn't take them long. So it'll be interesting to see how quickly that all meshed for the Pelicans. Aaron, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon. Always appreciate your time and also certainly your insights. Thank you so much.
Definitely. Thank you, guys. Looking forward to talking to you again soon.
Thanks, Aaron.
All righty. Aaron Summers, who is the host for pregame, halftime, postgame. You talk about a job. When you want a bad team trying to cover them, man, to try to keep your enthusiasm up and trying to, you know, just make it interesting for people who are watching. Aaron did a great job last year. I sent her a note about it because that's tough. You say, well, that's her job. Yeah, it's her job, but you got to understand how difficult that job is to try to make it interesting and be enthusiastic when you know things aren't going well. We'll be back with more sports talk here on the Big 870 WWL right after this break.
So you have a podcast, and you really want to make money with it. Then you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. Check this out. We'll host your podcast for free. You just do your show. We'll use the power of Odyssey's massive expert sales team to place ads in your show and make you money. Does it get any easier than that? Nope. You stay in control of your show, and we help you bring in the money. Sounds like a dream partnership. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start earning more from your content today.
Back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870 WWL, Mike Dettay along with Charlie Long. And Charlie, I'd set this kind of time off because I had an interesting question last week about the LSU special teams and how it had not been a huge plus for LSU over the last couple years. And we saw what happened in the Florida State game a few years back when they had a fiasco numerous times at the end of the game. And really cost them an opportunity to win the game. Now, I do think, because of what happened there, I think Coach Kelly was the hell with this when we played Alabama. What they went for the 2 points and for the win instead of the tie. But I think the big addition to the LSU special teams is going to be Barrion Brown. And if you look at what he did at Kentucky 2 years ago, he averaged 36 yards a kickoff return, and he brought back 3 for scores. Last year, you saw teams figure it out, say, wait a minute, I'm not kicking him the ball. So they would try to catch him in a corner to kick it. He did average 26.4 yards per kick return, which is impressive. But he is the big element now. He has done both kickoff and punt returns. Now, Xavier Thomas is back. Last year, we saw he averaged a little under 5 yards per punt return for the Tigers. But he brought back a kickoff against Baylor, 95 yards for a touchdown in the Texas Bowl. So I feel pretty good about the return game with the addition of Barrion Brown and having Xavier back for another season, where he was a really good return man at Mississippi State, and he was solid last year and certainly made a huge impact in the Texas Bowl with that 95-yard kickoff return. We talked a little bit about it earlier in the show with Damian Ramos back again for his final season at LSU. He was 23 of 29 on field goals. That's solid across the board, 41 of 42 on extra points. He was perfect on extra points the year before. I think he was 12 of 15 on his field goals. Now, they didn't have a lot of, they had a lot more opportunities last year. Part of that was Jaden Daniels, Malik Nabers, and Brian Thomas Jr. were in the NFL. And so they were scoring touchdowns. There was no field goal attempts on that deal. But I feel fairly confident with Ramos back in that position as your field goal kicker. Burrell did a great job on the kickoffs. Man, he was kicking them things. They were out of the end zone. He's got a really strong leg. The punt game is where they lost their punter, but they bring back Grant Chatwick, who's a transfer from Middle Tennessee State. Last year, he averaged over 43 yards a punt return. And that's an area where it's field position. You trying to play a field position game at times with other teams. And so if Chadwick could continue that average of 43.4, and it was one area that has started with Nick Saban, it happened with Les Miles, all same thing with Coach Ogeron, that they stress, if you're a young player on LSU's team, if you're a freshman or a redshirt freshman, you want to see playing time. Your first impact, special teams in the coverage units. That's where you got to kind of, you know, kind of make a mark real quick at LSU. So it's a great question. And early on, they cannot lose that part of the game, Charlie, against when you start the season against a Clemson and you play Florida and Ole Miss early in the season, you cannot lose that part of the game. It's too big to mess up, so to speak, at that stage. But I think the addition of Barrion Brown is going to be felt quickly in the kickoff return game and how teams try to set it up that he doesn't have that return.
Well, especially against Clemson, Mike, where that game could come down to a field goal attempt. I mean, it's going to be tight. We'll see what the Vegas number ends up being as far as, you know, the spread or the odds.
LSU has been favored since, but Mike, I think this goes back to April. It's been 3.5 or 3.
Okay, so it's around there. It's like they're anticipating a field goal type of game. That's kind of my point there.
Yep.
As far as Barry and Brown goes, though, Mike, 5 kickoff returns for touchdowns in his career with Kentucky, most of any player in SEC history. The kid is electric.
Yep.
Now, my question for you is, what do you think he could provide the wide receiver room on top of what he's going to give LSU and special teams?
Okay, this is what I would do with him. I'd put Chris Hilton out wide, and I'd put Barry Brown in the slot and say, I force you to have your third corner going up against Barry Brown.
Yeah, keep up.
I want to see how well that matches up. But now, again, Joe Sloan, he's not going to tip his hand on what he's going to do on that. But if it were me, Hilton would be on the outside wide receiver position. I'd have Barry Brown in the slot. Now, again, we saw with Aaron Anderson, he was used in the slot and also out wide last year. Nick Anderson has mostly been used as a wide receiver, mostly outside. But with Nick's size, I think every once in a while I'd change it up and put Nick inside, because most of the corners he's going to face as a slot receiver are going to be the smaller ones, are going to not be, to say, the 6-foot corner or the 5'11" corner. They're going to be smaller than that. So it's a receiving core. How quickly Garrett Nussmeier gets used to some new hands here with Barry Brown, with Nick Anderson. Bauer Sharp, we heard him talk when we did the interview. We were there, man. You saw his eyes light up about Bauer Sharp. The other one, too, is Trey Dez Green.
Oh, yeah.
And I'll make you a strong argument. He's the best athlete on the LSU football team.
And I would not fight back against that at all, Mike. He is a freak of nature. And I can't wait to see, because, like you said, if you're going to have Aaron Anderson in the slot or Barry Brown in the slot, it feels like that's where Trey Dez Green is going to make his money. Right, with this upcoming season. That 6'7" frame going against the 5'8" or 5'9" slot corners.
Good luck.
Yeah, have fun. Good luck with that. I agree 100%. So all these weapons that Garrett Nussmeier is going to have to utilize, it's going to be a fun offense to watch this year, I think, Mike.
Now you got to just keep him upright with that offensive line, and that's a story for another day. We'll be back to finish it off here in our number one of Sports Talk right after this break here on the Big 870 WWL. It finishes up here on our number one of Sports Talk on the Big 870, Mike Dettelia, along with Charlie Long. And when we come back, we'll have at 5:20 Greg Allman from Fox Sports talking NFC South Saints, Tampa Bay Buccaneers right after this news break here on the Big 870 WWL.
So you have a podcast and you really want to make money with it. Then you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. Check this out. We'll host your podcast for free. You just do your show. We'll use the power of Odyssey's massive expert sales team to place ads in your show and make you money. Does it get any easier than that? Nope. You stay in control of your show, and we help you bring in the money. Sounds like a dream partnership. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start earning more from your content today.